Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brustin Nordman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Nordman.
It is Kyle Brustin Nordman with you till 4 o'clock on ESPN Wisconsin, 5 o'clock on ESPN Milwaukee. Alex Stroff is out, so Kyle Wallace pulling double duty. He's the producer host extraordinaire today. I'm Ben Brust alongside Bradley Nordman. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. You got us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison. And if you don't have the ESPN Wisconsin app, it is easy to download, use, listen back, and have everything at the palm of your hands. Now, we were role-playing a little bit and hearing from KBN Nation on what would happen in the hypothetical that they lose Week 18 and the wild card game. But I want to think right now about Saturday, and maybe even more than just Saturday, but Matt LaFleur as a whole. Because I mentioned the frustration of when I was playing Ed Policy in our role-playing of the no matter who the coordinator is, there's been some glaring rush performances against your defense that have been like not okay. Like, how does it happen three different ways with three different coordinators? But Matt LaFleur getting his guys ready to play in a meaningful game. I don't want anyone saying it wasn't meaningful, because against the Ravens, who were playing for something, but you're playing for something as well. If you win that game right now, you're heading into Week 18 banged up, but trying to find a way to beat the Vikings, who are beatable. Now, they're serviceable on defense. Flores is a good defensive coordinator, but they have a horrible quarterback who threw for 53 yards or 51 yards, whatever it was, last weekend. So I ask you, how the hell are we still having the identity conversation? Because you, Brett, you tell me, because you wrote, this team isn't tough. What the hell is their identity? And when you wrote that, I'm like, how are we having this conversation? But it's rightful.
It is. And what's concerning is, it's easier to identify what this team is not than who they are. We know they're not tough. We know they're not necessarily disciplined. We know that they can't really do a great job in execution, right? I mean, you still have problems with alignment and you know, the simple things that a team at this point, regardless of where you are in the regular season, let alone 7 years into Matt LaFleur's tenure, that these teams should not be struggling with. So special teams, I mean, again, like the onside kick from Saturday night against the Chicago Bears, there just always seems to be something that gets in the way with this team, and they're semi-self-destructive. They're not tough. They don't execute. They're not disciplined. So I struggle still to find an identity of who this team is. You could maybe say opportunistic. Maybe you could say that, and you could maybe say they're rhythmic on the offensive side of the football. But then again, I watched the San Francisco 49ers last night with no Trent Williams, no George Kittle, no Brandon Ayuk, just McCaffrey and Purdy. And they're putting up points every single possession.
Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, Kyle Juszczyk catching one after Brock Purdy makes a magicianal
and they're doing things. They're combining. The guys are schemed open. They're putting McCaffrey and their playmakers in unique situations. And Brock Purdy, he's a very good quarterback. But you can't tell me that he's necessarily that much better than Jordan Love. But he is playing and he's looking that much better than Jordan Love and or Malik Willis. So I struggle to find an identity with this team. And it's, you know, they can kind of get away with it for a few games. You could be like, oh, well, it's close to this and that. It takes a game like this to truly remind you how far of a gap they have between a team that has an identity. This isn't the season they want to have, but the Ravens have an identity.
Matt LaFleur is the too nice guy.
He's the too nice guy.
That's Stacey.
He gets completely stepped over once as you face a team that has any level of toughness. We've seen it all the way back in 2019. It's the same thing to now. If you're playing a tough team, you get run over. Shoot, even Sean Payton 2 weeks ago said the defense is gassed and they're out of it. So Matt LaFleur is still struggling to put down a firm identity on this team. And the biggest thing to me is,
I guess they also, to your point, have lost all of the games that the defense played really well and kept the Carolina game close, despite the run defense. There was still not a lot of points scored in that Eagles game.
Yeah.
It was almost reminiscent of watching the Eagles in the playoffs of last year.
Well, it's just there's always something, right? Whether the offense is struggling, the defense is struggling, the special teams giving games away. They rarely put together a full game. And when you see the potential there, but they rarely put together a full game. And the thing that to me was, everything was still on the line for this team as far as winning the division. and they quit to a certain degree. There is no passion or fight. So for me, that's the biggest thing, and that is firmly on coaching. You need to have a heartbeat. You need to be ready, and they were not in any way, shape, or form on Saturday night.
Yeah, and yeah, I was overall defending Matt LaFleur's overall body of work and his resume as a coach of the Green Bay Packers is something that I can stand behind, but the performance that they had on Saturday, you're absolutely right, was completely humiliating, and I believe he set the wrong tone going into Saturday's game. And when you're talking about setting the wrong tone going into Saturday's game, to me, again, I'm not a doctor, okay? Nor do I play when I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to say this. Had the Lions won and they still had a chance to clinch a playoff berth, I believe that Matt LaFleur probably would have said, you know what, maybe Jordan Love clears this concussion protocol because this team actually has something to play for. And so when he took the pedal off the gas and decided that, oh, Josh Jacobs is only going to play for a little bit and then I'm going to sit him the rest of the game and Jordan Love is going to sit out, it sent a message to this entire roster that this game didn't matter as much as it needed to. And so the unfortunate thing for the Green Bay Packers is they lacked the sense of urgency on Saturday, and they had a team that was competing for their life, even though they did not control their own destiny. But what they understood was all they can do is win games and hope for the best. And guess what? They won on Saturday, and now they play the Steelers next week. And guess what? The winner will be in the playoffs because the Ravens decided that they were going to give it their all. The Green Bay Packers had no business allowing 41 points to be scored on them by the Baltimore Ravens. Yes, Derrick Henry is King Harry and a great running back, but 216 yards and 4 touchdowns? That is humiliating, embarrassing, and it is not good enough. And that falls on Matt LaFleur to ensure that his team is ready to go each and every week. To his credit, the Packers have not lost a game like this all year. They have not. The Packers have made it. They were in every game. They always had a chance at the end of every single game in order to win or tie that game. And this was the one time they did.
The troubling thing that you keep talking about right now is, I think, probably less about the what they were playing for in potential to win the division, but also the idea of now we're talking about you need either to get healthy or that get right game. Because you've lost three in a row. So, like, there's part of it as well that's like, we want to win these football games. We want to be playing our best football at the end of the year. We saw last year after week 17 that we were not, and that probably did not help in their mindset of week 18. And they obviously battled, but they weren't clean and crisp as they needed to be to get past the eventual Super Bowl champions last year. So, it's all on a bad track, but I'm totally at this point right now. Get healthy, but we can get to that later.
Well, and every year, there's a wild card team, or even a divisional winner, where you're like, oof, I don't want to play that team. They're hot. The Packers are the opposite of that. Like, I think we talk about the rest of the NFC, but if you're Seattle, if you're Philly, if you're Chicago, I know LA and, you know, San Fran, they're going to be the other wild cards. You're looking at the Packers, and you're saying to yourself, this team's banged up. They're passionless. Jordan Love hasn't played in a few weeks. This is the matchup that I want.
I don't know. They're scared. There's still something to the Green Bay Packers that would scare me.
No, they're a good team. And again,
despite everything that you just talked about with Derrick Henry, call me stupid, but I still believe that Jeff Hafley, like, with a good preparation for, like, after seeing the Bears twice, seeing the Eagles this year, would be able to put something together with whoever he has to make it formidable for the defense. You turn to your franchise quarterback that you mentioned with everything that's gone down with the 49ers.
Yeah.
You need him to elevate you. And he has elevated this Packers football team in 2023 when the defense wasn't that great. It wasn't what it's been. They literally
kept him in the game against the Eagles. And so, but again, I don't want to say.
No, I'm talking about 2023.
Oh.
When they won a game with on Jordan Love's shoulder, and through three quarters, Jordan Love's shoulder was really good. And then he had a bad pick.
But what I don't want to do is depict this defense of what we saw on Saturday. This is not the defense that we have seen throughout the season. The biggest issue for me and why I'm so frustrated is because I know that I saw enough that this team just is not going to all of a sudden come together and have enough to be able to make a run to the Super Bowl. We talked about, Brad, you've lived through it, how tough it is to win all those games to get to the Super Bowl. You didn't have to win all the games. You guys were the number one seed. You got to play at home. You got to rest up. Like, you didn't have to deal with all that. The Green Bay Packers have to go three games on the road and win. And let's just be honest. Every single game, since the Denver game, every game somebody's been going down. If you think anything's going to be different during the playoffs that ain't nobody going to drop out, you're crazy. I mean, we got guys dropping out with knees, Achilles, concussions, everything, and it's going to be more physical brand of football come the playoffs as well where guys might be dropping like flies. This team is not built to make it on the road, three games in a row, with the way that they currently are with all these injuries. They just don't have the depth.
Well, and a ding against Goody is he admitted the depth on the offensive line specifically is one of the things that caused the cascading calamity that was losing to Philadelphia.
He invested in that O-line.
So the reality is he knew that lack of depth will keep you from being able to make a Super Bowl run. That's exactly what happened to the O-line last year in Philadelphia. So injuries should not be coming as a surprise and saying, oh my gosh, we have no depth. That should not be a surprise because he knew that all offseason.
I would characterize Jason Wilde after listening to Sunday Karma and a little bit of Wilde and Tausch. It's a little more glass half full towards the defense despite the performance by Derrick Henry. So I'm curious to get his thoughts as Jason Wilde will join us next year on Kyle Bruston-Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. You're listening to Kyle Bruston-Nortman on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Producer, host extraordinaire, Kyle Wallace, behind the glass for Alex Stroh. Joining us now on Kyle Bruston-Nortman is Jason Wilde, host of Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon across these various stations. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. And great to be with, I mean, I guess you don't have Strolls, so that changes things a little bit. But great to be with the band being back together after Papa Bear Norton took some much-deserved time off.
It's great to be back, Jason. It's great to hear your voice.
I do want to know, Jason, from you, what the what the vibe and narrative was from fans of Wilde and Tausch. Doom and gloom about the defense. Obviously, I did listen on my drive from St. Louis to Wisconsin on Sunday to Sunday Karma, in which Kyle's declared the season over because he believes that they don't have an ability to win a Super Bowl, so his fandom stops as a Packer backer.
Okay.
So just from hearing from Kyle, from Wilde and Tausch, where's your pulse at from the fans?
Now I get after Kyle from time to time. I don't know if I would depict his position quite like that, but
we're a little different, you and I, Jason.
We are. I know that comes as a surprise to a lot of people. So here's the thing. Like, I understand that everyone has every right, if you're a Packers fan of any creed, color, whatever, you have every right to be frustrated and angry. I don't care if you're a dyed-in-the-wool 95-year-old Packer fan who remembers Don Hutson, or if you're a young whippersnapper like, well, Brad, you're not that young anymore, but this show is. I understand, and I'm not here to tell you you're not allowed to be frustrated or exasperated or angry or disappointed or struggling to see, you know, what's the point because they are not a Super Bowl team. I understand that feeling is out there. I would say that I would be careful about completely writing everything off because I don't think the NFC has any team that you would say there's no way the Packers can beat those guys, right?
The counterpoint the Packers are probably the team that people most want to play right now.
Yeah, as well they should because they look like garbanzo on Saturday night defensively. But again, I mean, I do think it's important to remember that Derrick Henry is a Hall of Fame player. Like, Matt LaFleur has seen him run for 200 yards before. He was his offensive coordinator when it happened. It was, I believe, his first one of his career. So, I get the frustration. I want to tell everyone who feels that way, however strongly or mildly they have it, they are within their rights as Packers fans to feel that way. That said, you look at the way they've lost in the last 3 weeks. They lost in Denver in a game they were in until basically they lost their superstar player. I mean, as much as I think Jordan Love was in the MVP conversation, I'm not even sure he was the most valuable player on his team.
Well, and Christian Watson, I think Micah Parsons was a big one.
So that they did not, even though they were within 8 points and they had two possessions where they could have theoretically tied the game, they were just devastated, right? The meltdown in Chicago, do I think that there's a hangover from that? Maybe. But that is a really difficult way to lose. And you feel like you're better than them. And I always think back, and there's too many people comparing these guys to 2010, and I do not see those comps personally. The injuries are different. The injuries are to more significant people. Got a whole another class of people that are pushing for Malik Willis to take over as a starting quarterback. It's pandemonium. But I would say there's one. Thank you. I couldn't agree more. But I think there is one parallel, and that is the Packers went to Atlanta. That was back when I traveled for every game. And I remember this. I've told you guys this before, but being in the post-game locker room of when they lost to Atlanta in the regular season in 2010, it was the most confident losing locker room I had ever been in, because they were on their way to being the number one seed, the Falcons were, and the Packers were like, we're better than these guys. And then what happened when they made it to the playoffs and faced them? They ran them out of their own building, right? I am not saying that the Packers will do that at Soldier Field if they get the Bears, but I still have all kinds of belief that the Packers are the better team. They were the better team for about 57 minutes. And I know Bears fans that'll be in your YouTube comments and that are in my Twitter feed are going to go after me again, which is fine because I've just stopped looking. But the fact of the matter is the Bears are a very good team. They're better than I thought they were.
I was going to say you were going to do a reassessment after Sunday Karma, after watching them at night.
Yeah, and I thought defensively, both those teams had a hard time, right? That's how you end up with a score like that. But I thought they emptied the bucket. And I'm very curious to see how things will go for them on Sunday at Soldier Field against a Lions team coached by a guy who got the Lions up for a game that they had nothing to play for when they came here in 2022 and they beat these guys. So my point is that I don't think the Packers are sitting in the locker room. I think they're off today, but they weren't sitting in the locker room yesterday going, God, we're screwed. I was listening to that Sunday Karma show and the amazingly talented Kyle Wallace is right. We're cooked. I don't think they're thinking that way. I think they think they should have won in Chicago, and that if they have to go back to Chicago, they're going to beat them. I don't think they're going to go much further to Kyle's point about them being a Super Bowl team, and if they're not going to be one, what's the point? I don't think that they're going to be in an NFC championship game. But again, who scares you the most of the other teams that are going to be in the postseason, with the asterisk of we don't know who the NFC South champ will be?
The Packers scare me the most.
Sure, but for an opponent, because they're not having an intra-squad scrimmage, Ben.
No, I understand. I'm just seeing correction. The Packers want to play the Packers and beat themselves on the Carbless Talk and text line, so I was just using that.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah, that's clever. But I seriously want to know. Like, I would say the Rams, right? I guess I would say the Eagles, but really, like, I don't – the Eagles are – I assume there's some version of KBN on WIP that they still think. I mean, I know they got the win against Buffalo yesterday, but they don't think their team's any good, right? I mean, they were egging the offensive coordinator's house, for crying out loud. I guess my point is that the
crazy.
Packers are deeply they literally were.
Like, no, I know.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Wow, like that's really
it's
2025,
different. 2025, right? Yeah. Exactly. It's very different than like online, you know, egging them or something. So my point is that I think the NFC is wide open. And if this is a wake-up call for the team that got run out of their own building by Derrick Henry, I'm not writing them off. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team without Tucker Kraft and Micah Parsons. I've been saying that for weeks. I stand by that. But I think they can still make some noise. I don't think all is lost.
Jason, you know, this is the third year straight, obviously, them being the seventh seed, wild card, all the things. You were hoping for a progression, or at least I know the organization was. How much more pressure is on Goody, LaFleur, the whole team itself, to get that first-round win this year than in prior years?
Well, I'm just glad you included Goody, because I feel like he gets a pass.
Yeah, we role-played being Ed Policy with both LaFleur and Goody, because I think that is important.
Yeah, I just think that I agree. I'm glad you did that. So, is there pressure? Absolutely. Like, the problem, of course, is in one game, you know this having played in the league, in one game, all kinds of weird stuff can happen. And so you can't pin it solely on this idea. The idea is you got to win a playoff game, right? Your idea, the thought is you got to advance further than just making the playoffs. Right?
Show progress.
I totally agree with you. Right. But at the same time, like, the way they played in Philly last year, they gave themselves no chance, right? You turn the ball over four times. Your franchise quarterback, who is, I believe, ending the season last year, that was his first year of his new Megabucks contract, right, if I recall correctly?
That's correct.
For him to throw three picks in a playoff game, is that because Matt LaFleur sucks? Is that because Goody sucks? Or is that because his routes were run wrong? Whatever the reason is, you can't have your franchise quarterback throw three picks in a playoff game. You're not going to win. And so I don't know if there was as much progress last year as the record would indicate, and they ended up in the same spot in terms of the playoff seeding. This year, I know we don't operate in this realm, but I am convinced that, and I understand other teams have injuries, so I know that's going to be the next YouTube comment. Look at what the 49ers are doing. They have had their problems, no doubt about it, and I would say Kyle Shanahan's a better coach, and I think hard to prove otherwise. But I do think that this team, as it was constructed in Pittsburgh, when Tucker Kraft was still healthy and Micah Parsons was still healthy, I thought it was a Super Bowl team, and I don't say that lightly. So if I'm at policy and I'm saying, well, we didn't see the progress we wanted to from this team, I guess I'm also saying I think we were on the precipice of some big time progress, and then this is the luck of the draw of the NFL. So I'll be curious to see what they do. The problem with all this, I was saying this to Tausch this morning, none of us know what Ed Policy is thinking.
Yep.
Like, remarkable.
We know one statement and a couple articles.
Right. Like, he's not like the last guy.
He didn't go on the WIA broadcast this year.
Correct. So I keep hearing people say is, well, this is his dad fired Bill Walsh. Yeah, my dad was a welder and not a very good youth sports coach. I mean, I'm not the same guy as him either. So I don't know how I would look at Ed Policy and just say, well, because Carmen Policy did this, this, and this, he's going to fire these guys and start over.
Jason Woodley joining us here on Kyle, Brustin Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin with Kyle hosting and producing.
Yes, Jason, what's more important or most important for the Green Bay Packers going into Week 18? Is it resting the starters and getting healthy, or is it momentum going into the playoffs?
Yes.
Everything.
I mean, that's the
problem,
right?
I saw that answer coming from a mile away.
I'm nothing if not predictable. Look, I don't envy the situation Matt LaFleur is in, because doesn't it feel like every time he's had to choose this, it's like, you guys are probably too young, but I used to get these choose-your-own-adventure books.
Great
want to go into the
Jason.
Forest, right? You want to go into the forest, turn to page 46.
Nerds!
Right, thank you very much. Because it does. This will be the sixth time they're in the playoffs, and I have to finish my research on this, but it feels like almost every year the last game is, well, you're going to play your guys or not. So a couple of years ago, right, it wasn't 23. I think they had to win. But like in 21,
yes, they had to win
rest
23.
Everybody. Right. So 21, rest everybody, then get the bye, and then they play like absolute trash, get a punt blocked, Rodgers and Devontae Adams and the offense conjure up, what, one touchdown? And they lose at home as the number one seed.
Oh, my God. 2020, was that the David Bakhtiari half a game against the Lions?
I think so.
Because then he played against the Niners in the NFC Championship game.
Well, he tears his ACL in practice at the end of the 2020 season. It was on New Year's Eve. Which is why they don't, in my opinion, in an empty stadium without their left tackle, finally at home for an NFC Championship game, they get beat by Tom Brady. So he tears the ACL at the end of 2020, So it's 21 in Detroit that he plays a little bit then. I think you're right. Anyway, I clearly have to do more research. But my point is, it feels like every time he does something, it's the wrong decision, right? Last year, he says, we got to play our guys, right? So he plays Love, who injures his elbow, and he plays Christian Watson, who tears his ACL. So now, and I would be the same way, now I'm like, well, crap, I can't. I'm not playing him. I'm going to start Clayton, too, and I can't afford to lose Jordan Love or Malik Willis, right? I'm going to trot a bunch of practice squad guys out there. Like, I don't know. It's just a no-win situation for him. So to Kyle's question, I personally would say you got to get things going in the right direction. You need kind of a feel-good type success story. But here's the other thing, and I don't think this way. And in retrospect, I respected it. I was doing our little TV thing up here in Green Bay last night, and a couple of guys said, well, what if you play your guys and your offense stinks? Because Brian Flores just did that to the Lions.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
So now you play guys and you suck. Now you just, like, again, that's a terrible way to go through life, right? Oh, my God, what if we play our guys and they stay healthy? They're just terrible. So
yeah, we got away unscathed, but man, that sucks.
But boy, we got less confidence.
We scored 3 points. Yeah.
I think it's rest. I think it's rest all the way.
But well, it's certainly rest for certain guys.
Correct.
Right? I mean,
you can't choose the whole roster because you're already down quite a bit and you got to elevate 15 guys to make a roster.
Right. And you can't play Josh Jacobs. Like, I don't know what that was on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Like, they took him off the injury report to not play him?
Well, and it seems like they'll play him to start the game, but then they'll take him out pretty quickly early. I don't understand what's going on with Jacobs.
Why play him at all there?
13
snaps? Yeah, why play him at all there? I don't get it.
4 carries for 3 yards.
One quick thing, though, Jason. Why does Bo Melton get wide receiver snaps that take away from Matthew Golden when the plan all year was for him to play defense? That is fascinating to me.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair question. I mentioned this to somebody yesterday, I can't remember who, but if you go back, Jordan Love said something really interesting a couple weeks ago where he said how Matthew Golden's route running has really improved and it's been more precise than it had been previously. And when I heard that, I heard, well, that's a very nice compliment. That's also a criticism, right? That's a criticism of, this is why he wasn't playing as much, because they couldn't trust him to be where he needed to be when he needed to be there, right? And that doesn't mean he's a bust. That doesn't mean he's not going to evolve into a really, really good player for these guys. But right now, as a rookie, that's not who he is. And so as a result, they don't play him as much. Now, I'm not sure I agree, but if Jordan Love is saying that, I mean, that's about as close to being critical as Jordan Love gets, right? I mean, he does not throw anybody under the bus publicly. And I know he meant that as a compliment, but his route running wasn't good previously. So that I thought was really interesting.
Jason, we appreciate the insight and the conversation. We will talk to you next week.
Are y'all not
okay?
I guess it's Thursday.
I'd love to have you Friday if you're available.
Okay. Let me negotiate with your. Will your regular producer be
no,
back?
No, he's off all week.
Yeah, who's producing on Friday?
I'm going day by day. Jason, I'm hosting with Jesse tomorrow, so I'm going day by day.
Hey!
Oh my God!
That
will be
not
a thrill.
Make it to Wednesday.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys, take care.
That's Jason Wilde, Willie and Tausch, 9 and noon across
today.
These various stations.
He did good today.
What a way to end
good
the year.
Today.
Yes, I agree. I thought it was very insightful, and we got a lot of information that we needed to move forward on Kyle Bruston-Ortman. Continuing next with you, KBN Nation.
You're listening to Kyle Bruston-Ortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. You're listening to Kyle Bruston-Ortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Ben Ben Brust, Bradley Nortman, and Kyle Wallace is here. He is running the show for Alex Strofe, host-producer today. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talking text line. And we're on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. And of course, the ESPN Wisconsin app. Now, the team that is coming up a lot today, more than I expected, but I understand why, is the San Francisco 49ers. Now, Jason put it very clear, you know, Kyle Shanahan's just a better coach than Matt LaFleur. But that's why it all ties into everything, because he's been here 7 years, and he's got 1 year left on his contract after this season, where all we know from Ed Policy is the one little media scrum he did where he said he doesn't like lame duck quarterbacks, GMs and coaches. So then you're thinking to yourself, well, without Brock Purdy 6 games with Mac Jones, without George Kittle at times, without Bosa the entire season, essentially, without Fred Warner, who's trying to play in the NFC Championship game if they make it that far.
Crazy.
They are playing for the number one seed in the NFC in the toughest division in the NFC with Seattle and the Rams in that division. So it just does that make you feel worse as a Packer fan knowing the success that they were to have with injuries to their best players as well?
Absolutely it does, and it should, to be quite honest, because it's a true, I don't want to use the word excuse, but it's a reason, right? A reason why maybe the Packers haven't had as much success is because of injuries. But it doesn't take much history looking back into the hourglass to see the Detroit Lions last year won 15 games, and Aiden Hutchinson broke his leg like week 4. So they were out him most of the year. That's kind of their equivalent to Micah Parsons. And you can make the strong argument that San Francisco has lost more guys than Green Bay has on a man-to-man basis. They've had more success in a tougher division, and they are ending the season with more to play for and in a better position to actually make a Super Bowl. They look like a Super Bowl team in some capacity, and the Green Bay Packers do not. So I just think it's frustrating to see other teams. You want to use injuries as an excuse, but you just can't, because other teams don't use it as an excuse when they're better coached and there's more players
on
them.
And then again, it brings me back to the conversation. Then is this Goot or is it LaFleur? Because Goot gets the players and LaFleur coaches the players.
Well, and it's interesting too, because you know, I asked the question to Jason, is this organization, Goot, LaFleur, the players, under more pressure this year to get that playoff win, even though they're the seventh seed year after year? And Jason basically said, look, it's hard to define a year in one game. But the reality is the Packers put themselves in this position, right? If they would have won.
And it is what you do in sports, if we're being honest. Everything's heightened in the playoffs.
But if you were to win 12 games, let's say, and look really good all season and still lose the first round of the playoffs, you could say progress was made. I've got a bigger sample size of looking really good. So even though you lost one playoff game, maybe it's not reflective of the whole. I think you look at this and say little progress has been made, if any. You are the seventh seed. And if you go ahead then and lose the first playoff game, you could say it's more evidence that this team has not taken the step forward. So I think it's unavoidable. I think that the pressure on the game in wild card weekend is going to be massive and will be indicative, I think, of what Ed Policy will do in a lot of ways. And even more than that, it's not like they're playing against a juggernaut. I mean, if you had, you know, the insert whatever dominant team, you know, the equivalent of the Chiefs or the Patriots, and they were good, and you were facing them in the playoffs, you'd say, well, shoot, no one can beat them. But we're all under agreement that the NFC is not that great. So even more reason why the Packers should go to either Philly or Chicago, give them a game, and maybe even win.
Kyle Wallace working hard back there as cameras are.
I tell you, that camera every time. Every time.
It's not just you.
No, I know that. I know. I tell
AI has
camera.
Infiltrated it. We're embracing AI here.
Well,
it's infiltrated
AI
that
broken.
Camera.
That artificial intelligence is broken. It needs to be fixed.
Yeah. So you just be honest with me. Do you have any idea what we've been talking about?
No. Honestly, I was listening and I was catching on to Brad.
So just host extraordinaire, not producer and host extraordinaire.
I was following Brad. I ain't gonna lie to you. The camera threw me all off. I found a song and I got thrown off. Brad was saying,
Don't worry about it.
The 49ers being able to bounce back despite all these injuries, do we envy
where do you put it on? Goody or LaFleur from a players and coach standpoint?
No, I think, well, obviously it's a combination of things, but honestly, to be I don't believe that we have the depth to be able to survive, right? And I say that because we look at the offensive line, and yeah, a lot of stuff is development, but some of these guys are just busts. When you look up and down the draft classes that Goody has had, a lot of those guys are either clearly not on our roster or not even in the league. You're talking about guys that you drafted 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round. If you are not able to build your roster in those 3 to 7 rounds and those guys are out the NFL 4 years later, that means you're not doing a good enough job as a general manager to have the next man up mentality. And I think that is the Green Bay Packers' problem. You can't miss in the first round and also miss in the 6th and 7th round and not have any undrafted free agents pop out or do anything special for you. We haven't had a Devondre Campbell type guy in a very long time.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Rasul Douglas. We haven't had that in years.
Rasul and Devondre Campbell are the two impactful players wherever they were picked up. Those were free agency. But you need those guys to make up the roster and have bigger impacts
you
than you're seeing.
Guys
especially on the outside when you sign in Nate Hobbs and you're literally begging not to play him, but Carrington Valentine, a 7th round pick, plays so bad that you have to play him. Then he gets hurt. Then you throw somebody else in who gets hurt.
You can't invest bad money like they did with Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs. Aaron Banks has been okay, but he hasn't been the guy who should have got the top money as a guard or second highest money as a guard this offseason. That's point blank period.
You know, it is interesting because with Goody, a lot goes on the floor to raise everybody else around him. But with Goody, I mean, he just nails the big swings. If it's like a home analogy, when he like redoes the kitchen or the bathroom, man, they look great. Like Jordan Love, Micah Parsons, you got your future tackle in Zach Tom. Like he nails it.
But the half bathroom still is.
The half bathroom looks like he's shorted
like mine.
The electrical work. He's shorted the electrical work. You don't see it all the time, but when you need it to work, it's not working consistently.
He is banging that table like me. It feels good
on
here.
Powerful chair, huh?
Something about this seat, man. I got so much space for expression.
Looks like he fits in that spot, whereas you can sit anywhere because you're tiny.
Whoa. How did you come? Why are we coming at the short king for? All I did was just comment how he's...
Well, you weren't paying attention to the segment because you got distracted by the cameras.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to do two things, but I had a good answer, didn't I?
It was okay.
It's good.
On YouTube, at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison, 800-990-3776. We're going to wrap up the ESPN Wisconsin portion of the show, and Kyle doesn't know how to hate watch. We can go to Dave next. I run the show. Next.
You're listening to Kyle Bruston-Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Still am being told by my wife that her favorite gift was not the nice piece of jewelry or whatever. It was the private tennis lessons to the Princeton Club in New Berlin. And you have an opportunity at the Madison locations and the New Berlin location to find your better tomorrow. Lock in your rate before the end of the year at the Princeton Club. If you can, go get a tour now, ASAP. You'll see the clean health club filled with energy. Free child care with the membership. You can have that strong body, strong mind, and help provide a strong community at the Princeton Club. So go there for your better tomorrow. Do I give Strofe his gift? You guys have received your gift. I still have received nothing from Kyle. I'm not expecting that. He's just going to use my gift to fund the bachelor party.
Gotta catch up.
You gave me $14 jumbo cables and wine that I had to give away because it was too sweet that you got for free.
Milwaukee tax is 7%, so it was $14.99, $15.99, add to taxes, probably $18.
Okay, sorry.
And the gift of a lifeline.
That he got for free.
No, it came out of our allotment. We get a yearly allotment.
I'll be honest, dude. We still haven't drank the wine either.
Here, it's just, in our give it back. It's too sweet for you, too.
No, but it's good. I think of you every time I look at it. I say, oh, Kyle. And
I'll give y'all some of the good.
That cork is going to disintegrate before Brad ever opens it.
I'll trade it out. I'll get you something else.
Ben Bruss, Brad Nortman, Kyle Wallace running the show for Strofe, also kind of hosting. We'll see if he's able to listen and produce this segment.
Music's good, though.
It's better than Strofe's.
It is good.
Or that non-licensed. Let's go to Dave in Illinois. You're on the Carbless Talk and Text Line with KBN.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Gotcha. Loud and clear.
Hey, so yeah, I am from Illinois. I am a Bears fan. I'm calling, this is not a troll. First of all, we can agree, I also find David Kaplan annoying.
Hey! My man, Dave.
I'm a, I'm, I'm a White Sox fan, and I cannot stand David Kaplan. So we're same team there. Your season is not over because there is, like, first of all, the Green Bay Packers are the standard in the NFC North. Like, I hate that I'm giving, like, a pep talk, but it's like,
why are you
a terrifying organization.
What's the underlying thing here?
I do not like all the bad karma that every Bears fan's like, I want the Packers. I do not want the Packers in the playoffs because I went to Iowa. So whenever we played Wisconsin, it didn't matter the year. You know those teams know each other so well. And unlike, you know, Iowa, which puts up a fight against Wisconsin, most times the Bears lay down and we lose to the Packers. I have too many memories of it. So I think it's for you guys. If you guys can get that game in, like, it's just, I feel like you can do that, maybe make a run. And I'm not like other Bears fans. I'm not delusional and be like, Jordan Love's not that good. Jordan Love's really good. They somehow found another really good quarterback.
And Dave, I actually hate to cut you off because I do have a hard out here of the ESPN Wisconsin portion. Let's give it up for a rational Bears fan.
That's what we needed.
Appreciate the call, Dave. Kyle Wallace is working hard to figure out how to get things done back there. As we wrap up the ESPN Wisconsin Hour, and we head to the 414 Hour at 4 with you on 94.5 ESPN, YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, and the ESPN Wisconsin app in 2 minutes.